and the chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want us to read some verses from God's precious word at verse number 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. And it's certainly a privilege to have you with us this evening. And we thank God for your courage and your encouragement in coming to this tent tonight, in such an inclement night. But we praise God for just the desire to hear God's precious and God's holy word. Now let's open our Bibles, as I said, in 1 Peter chapter 1, commencing to read at verse number 13. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We'll keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And let us pray together, please. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for this opportunity to gather round thy precious and thy holy word. Thy word is truth. We thank thee, our God, our Heavenly Father, that, Lord, I believe with all my heart that thy word is forever settled in heaven. Though heaven and earth may pass away, my word shall never pass away. And we thank you, Lord, that we can come to a sure and certain word in an uncertain world. We thank thee, O God, that we can depend upon thy word, for thou art a God who cannot lie. And all the promises that thou hast in thy precious word, thank you, Lord, thou wilt perform and thou wilt fulfill. We thank thee that thou hast said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your promise, Lord. And we pray tonight that there may be in this gathering souls that will call upon thee. And we bless thee that if they do, that, Lord, you'll save them. And you'll save them from their sin. And so, Lord, to this end, I pray that you give me liberty and the Holy Ghost as I preach thy word. And help me right now just to glorify Jesus Christ, to uplift the Savior. For thou hast said in thy word, I have I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Spirit of God, draw men of them to Christ. And save them tonight, for we pray in Jesus' precious name. And for Jesus' sake, amen. Now in our meetings already in this mission and in the meetings still to come, we will deal with very serious subjects concerning the soul of man. We'll talk about man's sin, and we have done so. We have talked about man's life and man's death and man's eternity. You and I and every one of us tonight in this meeting, we're all travelers to that eternity. We started on the journey of life, perhaps at different dates. But I'll tell you this, whilst we may finish at different dates as well, we'll still end in eternity. And we'll either be in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. Now, in the identifying of the serious problem of sin that separates a man from God, Thank God, in the grand old gospel of Jesus Christ, there's good news. That's where we started, with the good news of the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. John 3:16, probably every person to the smallest child could quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. I want to tell you, my friend, you don't need to perish. That's the grand news of the gospel. Sinners don't need to perish. And thank God he promises that those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a wonderful thought and what a wonderful knowledge to know that you have right now everlasting life, the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But once we talk about man's sin and we talk about the holiness of God, for it says here, be holy, for I am holy. And there's a holy God, my friend, that sin is an offense to that holy God. But you may ask the question tonight, on what basis does a righteous God forgive the sins of sinful men and sinful women? On what basis does God forgive us our sin? How is it that a righteous and a holy God who has a pure eyes and to look upon sin, and upon the cross of Calvary when Jesus Christ became the sin bearer and he bare my sin in his own body in the tree, the Father turned his face away from his Son, and in the darkness of Calvary, Christ cried out these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if the Father forsook his Son there upon the cross of Calvary because he was the sin bearer, how can God, who is righteous, forgive you and me who are sinful? And that's where the glorious gospel comes in. I want you to notice here in this passage of God's word that we read tonight in 1 Peter chapter 1, when Peter was writing to the believers here, he said this in verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let me tell you, my friend, the purchase of my soul and the redemption of my soul was a very costly thing. There is nothing cheap with the gospel. But it cost God's Son his life's blood upon the cross of Calvary to take away our sin. And it is in the ground of that finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross for and on behalf of sinners that God can forgive our sins. And without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, remember this, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, I want us to understand, my friends, something about the sacrifice of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been singing about it all night. You'll notice whenever Peter was opening this epistle here, the first epistle, he was writing to believers that were going through difficult times. They were going through times of trial, the trial of their faith. Look at verse number 6. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I want you to notice as he's writing to these believers, there's something encouraging in the midst of all of these trials. It says this, now for a season, if need be. Now for a season, if need be. You see, my friend, the trials that God's people have to go through, thank God it's only for a season. It's only for a season. And maybe you're going through that trial tonight. Maybe no one knows about that trial. Is it sickness? Is it some bodily ailment? Is it a family situation? Or is it a heart situation in your own life? Problems that are going on in your own heart and in your own mind. And you say, my friends, I'm going through fiery trials. Let me tell you, I want to tell you something tonight. It's only for a season. Hallelujah. For a season. Now remember this also, the Word of God says this, that Moses, whenever he was considering himself there in the palace of Pharaoh, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of the world, which are only for a season. And dear sinner, let me tell you tonight, you see that sin that you love tonight, that sin that you will not give up tonight for Jesus Christ, that sin that you embrace and hold to your bosom, that will take you to hell, I want to tell you, its enjoyment is only for a season. It's only for a season. And yet you love it. Now the trials of your faith is only for a season. But notice how the Holy Spirit puts it in here. It says here, now for a season, if need be. If it's necessary. God knows what you need. And sometimes, my friend, let me tell you, God knows that you need a rebuke. Sometimes God knows you need chastisement. You know what the Word of God says? Whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourgeth every son that he receiveth. It's not that the Father doesn't love you when he chastens you. He chastens you, child of God, if you're his, and you walk in rebellion, he chastens you because he loves you. He loves you. Not because he's forgotten you. But if need be, he knows what you need. And some might let me tell you, my friend, you mightn't think you need it, but God knows best. I sing a wee hymn, God's way is the best way. He knoweth the best. And so he's talking here to the believers, and he says here, if need be, if it's necessary, at times. But remember that affliction, it's only for a season. Varied, manifold means varied temptations or testings. And sometimes God puts his child into the crucible and puts the heat under you and he tests you. God knows us best. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the floods, some through the fire, but are all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Now it says here, if need be, ye are in heaviness. Let's be honest, testings are not easy. Sometimes the valley that God's child has got to walk through, it's not an easy valley. Not an easy experience. But notice what it says here. If you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, thank God I have something to tell you tonight. He'll bring you through them. He'll bring you through them. When God called me into his work over 50 years ago, he gave me a verse of the scriptures, and I never forgot it. It said this, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And then it says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Rivers, waters, fire. I tell you, it's not easy, and it hasn't been. But notice what he said in every one of them, through them. Through them. He brings you through. And I stand here tonight and I can say to the faithfulness of God tonight, thank God in every experience that I've had faced, thank God he brought me through them. You see, they were controlled by him. And maybe that's a heavy trial that you're bearing tonight. Let me say something to you. There are no accidents with God, friend. There are no mistakes with God. There are appointments. But God never makes a mistake. If need be. Of course, if you look at the start of verse 6 before we move on quickly, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. So you're not to be overcome child of God tonight, you're not to be overcome with a situation. My, the old devil comes along and he says, when you're going through that trial, listen, God doesn't care about you anymore. And he tries to put you down. I mean, you're not to be overcome, friend. Listen, ye greatly rejoice, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Count it all joy. And if you have to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, and men and women in past years did, and some went to the fire, and they were burned to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And I've often wondered this. If you and I were faced with that, tell me, wonder where, what we would do. And those men, some of them took the faggots and that they were about to be burned, and they lifted and they kissed it. And then they lifted their heart to God and said, thank you, God, that I'm counted worthy to suffer for you. And then they were burned to death. But they weren't in heaviness. They're rejoicing. And brother and sister, let me tell you, we're nearer home than we were yesterday. Praise God, we're going home. So it's not an easy road that we're walking, but praise God, yes, the trial of your faith. But you know, whenever he's talking about all of these situations, you'll find here in this first epistle that Peter reminds the believers of what God has done for them in Jesus Christ. Never forget that, friend. Never lose the wonder of what God has done for you in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget the rich blessings that God has provided for you in Christ Jesus. We are a blessed people. I sing a wee chorus sometimes. We are blessed, we are blessed. Every day of our lives we are blessed. From we wake up in the morning to our lay our heads to rest, we are blessed, richly blessed. You know, some people meet them down the street and say, how are you today, brother? Miserable as usual, thank God. You know, let me tell you, friend, listen. Whenever you're able to get up in the morning and you're able to wash your face and put your clothes on and go down the stairs or go into the front room and kitchen and make your breakfast and sit and eat it, you're blessed. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord said. Now here's, look, let's say right in here, verse 18. For as much as ye know, this is something that they know. This is something that they're sure of. My friend, they didn't learn this of themselves. This is a blessed confidence. This is a blessed assurance that's in their hearts, that the blessed Holy Spirit of God has placed in their hearts. Peter says, brethren, you know this. You know this. Paul says, I know whom I have believed. I know him. I know the one that I'm trusting in. I know Jesus. Do you? Men and women, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the Lord tonight? Do you know him personally as your Savior? Was there a moment whenever you turned from your sin, acknowledged your lostness, estate before God, and acknowledged that you were the sinner and that he was the only Savior, and you called upon the name of the Lord, and thank God that night God heard the cry of that poor lost sinner. Praise God, I know it tonight because I was that sinner that called upon the Lord. Thank God he saved me. He heard my cry. And so I can say, I know whom I have believed. Remember also Paul said in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Always remember that wee verse, friend, no matter what situation, that we know that all things, not some things, not most things, but all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And if you love the Lord tonight, if you're his child, I tell you, he's in control. And even when you're walking through the waters and the rivers, and even if it be the fire, thank God he'll bring you through. He'll bring you through to victory. We know, he says, ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Now let me tell you, when that word redeemed, and the Jewish believers were reading those words, redeemed, what was the first thing they thought about? They thought about how God redeemed his people out of bondage. How that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know the first mention of that word redeemed? Let me show you. It's in the book of Exodus in the chapter 6. That's the very first mention. Dr. Pacey used to always say the law of the first mention is the key that opens up that. Well, in Exodus chapter 6, look at verse number 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be your God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. That's the first mention of redeem in the scriptures. And God says, and I will redeem you. I will redeem you. And the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt. They were under the bondage of the Egyptians. But praise God, that night the Lord said, I will redeem you. And praise God, those that were under the blood, praise God, they were safe when the death angel was passing through. Death angel couldn't touch them. Death angel was going through the land. And God said this, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that word there concerning God saying, I will pass. You see, the death angel was passing through, but God says, I'll stand guard over you. As the death angel's passing through, they'll not be able to get in. The death angel can't get into your home because you're under the blood. And when I see the blood, God sees the blood. He says, I'll stand guard. Thank God we're safe under the blood of Jesus. And the children of Israel were redeemed through the blood. You see, redeem, it was a money term paid to buy back or to set free prisoners of war, to emancipate slaves from their masters. And before redemption, they were in slavery. But there was a price paid for their deliverance and for their liberty. And friend, when God found every one of us who are saved tonight, we were in the slave market of the sin. We're under the bondage of the devil. We were slaves to sin. And the old Adamic nature, it was a sinful nature. And let me tell you, my friend, God had to, in his grace and mercy, step in. And God redeemed us. But notice he says here, you're not redeemed with corruptible things. And then he says this, such as silver and gold. You say, but silver and gold doesn't corrupt. The word is perishable. You say, well, listen, well, corruptible or perishable, silver or gold does not perish. But what does the word mean, friend? The idea here is mentioned. Listen, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, which is only short-lived. It only has a brief significance. Silver and gold has only got a brief significance because its value passes away. And that's true. That's true. He says you're not redeemed through silver and gold from your vain conversation. The word conversation is not simply words of lips. It's your manner of living. And he talks about vain. What does the word vain mean? Empty. Empty. And let me tell you, my friend, men and women that are living their lives tonight, their lives without Jesus Christ, they're pointless, they're empty. It's meaningless in the light of God's eternity. Ah, yes, they may think they're having jazz of a time now. But friend, God didn't make you for time. God made you for eternity. God set eternity in your heart. This world's not your home. You're just passing through. And yet the manner of your living, handed down by our fathers, all the while people think they're living in happiness, but in reality, they're living empty, miserable lives. Do you know why? Because all they have, friend, will pass away. I see the young lad walking into the bar. He goes out for his night of drinking. You know, he works all week, and I feel sorry for a poor soul like that. Maybe he works the skin of his fingers all week, and then at the end, an out publican gets the whole pay packet. What a waste. And he thinks you're a fool, and his coffers are filled. You look at some of the young people, and you ask them, say, well, what did you do at the weekend? Oh, I had a great weekend. A great weekend of drinking. And after the night was over, the gawk, maybe over the bone, had a great weekend. Bring it all up again. Fools. Is that life, friend? Is that what life's about? Is that what all a young person has for living? The Word of God says, listen, it's vain living, and the world is empty. What does Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? Vanity of vanity, all's vanity. And the word's empty. Emptiness of emptiness, all's empty. And that's the way the world will leave you, friend. We sing the hymn, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lasting joy, Lord Jesus found in thee. There's no lasting joy in the world, friend. Because the pleasures of sin are only for a season. So Paul says, or Peter says this, you know you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. But there's something more valuable. There's something that's precious and it's imperishable. He says you're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, slaves could be set free in the Old Testament by the payment of money. But no amount of money will be ever able to set your soul free from your sin. You see, it's perishable as far as the silver and gold. It only lasts for... Let me show you just how simple that is. You say, but it'll never... Listen, it never loses value. Listen, take a £100 note. And that £100 note in your hand, or take 10 of them, £1,000 in your hand, and wave them in the face at the side of a coffin, into the face of a dead man. Will he reach out his hand for it? No, why? Because there's no value anymore to him. Doesn't even take his notice. Why? Because he's dead. Its value has passed away. And yet men and women are living for that. And they think there's nothing more precious than silver and gold. But the Word of God says this. Look at this. You're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. Do a Bible study in the word precious. There are many precious things in it. The book of the Psalms tells us that the redemption of the soul is precious. 2 Kings chapter 1 tells us that life is precious. Psalm 139 says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. 1 Peter and 2 Peter talks about precious faith and the trial of precious faith. 2 Peter 1 talks about precious promises. Psalm 116 talks about precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. Psalm 126 talks about bearing precious seed. The sower going forth to sow the precious seed of the Word of God. But here we have the precious blood. The precious blood. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but ye are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now let me tell you why the blood's precious for you. Because this is what the blood of Jesus Christ will do for you. This is what the blood of Jesus Christ, this is what God has promised you through the precious blood that He shed upon the cross of Calvary. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says this. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Through the blood of Christ, we have pardon for our sin. It's a wonderful thing. Way back in the 1800s, there was a great preacher's called, name was Dr. Charles Berry. Dr. Berry was an English preacher, and he was the pastor of a great historic Plymouth church in Brooklyn. One night as he sat in the preacher's house, a knock came to the door, and he opened the door of the pastor's home, and there's a young girl standing there with a little shawl over her shoulders and over her head. She's suddenly clad with that shawl and clogs on her feet. She said to the preacher, Dr. Berry, are you a minister? He said, yes. Oh, she said, come with me, please. You must come quickly. I want you to get my mother in. Dr. Berry thought that when he talked about getting a mother in, he thought that she was some drunken mother that was lying out in the street. And so Dr. Berry said, listen, it's a policeman you need. It's not a preacher. Oh, no, she said. She said, sir, my mother's dying. And you must come and get her into heaven. Dr. Berry, one of the great preachers of his day, great orator. People came from near and far to hear his oratory and his preaching. He wasn't saved. He follows that girl through the back streets and then came about a mile and a half through the lonely streets to a little humble dwelling. Saw a woman lying in the corner. She was dying. He knelt down by her side and started to tell her about how good Jesus was and how kind Jesus was and how that he came to show us how to live a good life. The tears were running down the woman's cheeks in her dying moments, and she was desperate, and she cut him off and said, mister, that's no good to the likes of me. I'm a sinner, and you tell me how I'm going to live, but I'm dying. I want you to get me in. Tell me something. Tell me something. That there's someone who can have mercy upon me and save my poor, guilty soul. Dr. Berry had tried to tell her some of his great sermons, some of the lectures that he had given, but there was no avail. She said, tell me. Oh, preacher, tell me if someone will have mercy on me. Save my soul. And then Dr. Berry says, as I stood there, I remembered when I was a child at my mother's knee. My mother used to talk about the cross. How that Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. How that God so loved us that He sent His darling Son into the sin-cursed scene of time, and there in the cross of Calvary, He became the sin-bearer. And he remembered the old gospel that his mother used to tell him at her knee. And as he was telling it to the woman, she says, that's it!
That's it. Now you're getting it. Now you're helping me. And then as he finished about the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who can cleanse from all sin, she says, I get it. I get it. That God pardons me through the death of his Son, through the shedding of his precious blood. And this is what Dr. Berry said. He said, that night, I got that dying old woman in. But he said, that night, I got in too. That night he was saved. I want to tell you, my friend, here's a dying woman. And the preacher says, Jesus, the kind and loving and good Jesus, can tell you how to live, but she's dying. And so are you. You have nothing for the journey through the valley of death and out into God's eternity. Let me tell you, praise God through the blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And there's pardon for your sin through the blood. You know what the Word of God says? Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. I don't care how far gone you are, friend. I don't care how deep down in sin you are, but I praise God, I can tell you this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is able to cleanse you. Thank God he'll forgive you your sin. And you know how much he'll forgive it? It says in Hebrews chapter 10:17, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God it's a full pardon. A complete pardon. And when Christ died upon the cross and he shed his precious blood, thank God he died to carry away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You don't need to carry the load of your sin any longer. For the blood of Jesus Christ, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Used to be a member of Parliament. His name was Johnny McQuaid. Some of you older people remember Johnny. One of the most honorable men that ever walked the Shankill Road. Johnny McQuaid was a soldier, one of the old soldiers, the time of the war. He was one of the crack soldiers that went out to fight for king and country. Whenever you talk to Johnny about his soul's salvation, Johnny would say to me, Mr. McRae, if you only knew what I had to do for my king and country, God could never forgive me. And no matter how much you would talk to Johnny and tell him that Jesus could pardon his sin, he couldn't see it. He said, I'd love to believe that. But he said, I had to do things to deliver my country in the war that I couldn't tell you. God couldn't forgive me. And then something happened, friend. One day Johnny's wee wife, Sissy, took cancer. And she was dying. He went to a colleague of mine and he begged him or asked him to go and speak to Sissy. For Johnny, although he felt he couldn't be saved, he wanted to see Sissy sure of heaven. The preacher went and thank God led Sissy to Jesus Christ. She could gloriously see him. But friend, through Sissy's coming to Christ, one day Johnny saw that the God who pardoned Sissy could pardon him too. And Johnny is saved in heaven tonight. Because of the pardoning blood of Christ. What can wash away my stain? What's the answer, friend? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? What's the answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, didn't stop at nothing. But it's nothing but. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And friend, you can be baptized and you can be catechized and you can be confirmed and you can have all the other rituals of your denomination or every denomination. But none of them will take you to heaven. And if that's all you have, they'll take you to hell. But thank God the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that claims the precious blood of Christ to cover their sin. Thank God the blood of Jesus pardons sinners. You pardon through the blood. And it doesn't matter who you are tonight. It doesn't matter how far gone you are. It doesn't matter how deep down in sin you are. The old devil says there's no place of pardon for you. The devil's a liar. For thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. You know some of the modern versions? This is what they put in that verse. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And you know what they leave out? Through his blood. I want to tell you, there is no redemption and there's no forgiveness of sin except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ, it gives pardon for our sins. Then turn quickly to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether there be things in earth or in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Listen. Thank God we have peace for our souls through the blood. With peace. Praise God when you rest on Jesus' blood. Hallelujah. The war's over. The war is over. You're reconciled to God through the blood. Hallelujah. We're brought nigh, it tells us, through the blood. We who once were afar off are brought nigh through the blood of Jesus. Once we were enemies, it says there. You that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. That's God's doing. You can't make peace with God, friend. You can't make, but thank God peace was made through the blood. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, and there upon the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ died upon that cross and he cried on the cross, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." He says, "It's finished." The work that you gave me to do, what was it? To redeem a people unto God. And thank God those who claim the covering of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I rest my whole eternity. I'm getting to heaven tonight. I'll tell you why. Because I have peace with God through the blood of his cross. Jesus died in my place. The wages of my sin were death, was death. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. But praise God, the gospel tells me that Jesus, the blessed Son of God, he paid the debt he didn't owe. But he paid it for me. And thank God, God can't demand twice payment. Once at my blessed surety's hand, and then again at mine. No, no. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. All to him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but the blood of Jesus washed as white as snow. And that's why Paul was able to write to the Roman believers and say this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. And do you know what happens? When you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, then there's something happens. Then in your heart, you have the peace of God within your soul. Isn't it great to go to bed at night and lay your head in the pillow and know that no matter what happens, all's well. All's well. Nothing can take you unawares, friend. And all we have to do is one day go. Because we're ready. Let me give you this as we finish tonight. Turn your Bible just a wee moment in the book of Revelation chapter 12. Because not only have we pardon for our sins, and not only do we have peace for our souls, but in Revelation chapter 12, it says this. Verse number 10 and verse number 11. Revelation 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Who's the him? That's the devil. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Thank God, through the blood we have power over Satan. Boy, the devil hates the blood. Remember preaching a sermon. Whenever I went to Macrofelt, we had a big tent up in what's called Stony Park. And Macrofelt. I preached a sermon one night. This is true. I preached a sermon one night. And I preached on this. Who the devil is, where the what the devil is doing, and where the devil is going. Now, this is true. Those meetings were all taped. Whenever it started that service, there was a person give their testimony. The testimony was taped. The hymns were taped. And the reading of the scripture was taped, and he came to start to preach the sermon on the devil, who the devil is, what the devil is doing, and where the devil is going. And there wasn't a word in the tape. Not one word. Don't forget, he's the prince of the power of the air. That's what the Bible calls. Don't play around with the devil, friend. He's not a joke. He's real. And he wants to trap you and keep you trapped. And he wants to damn you and keep you damned. He wants to take you to hell where he is. And yet men and women fool around him, have jokes about the devil. And I tell you, he's the old serpent. He's the accuser of the brethren. And the devil will do everything and anything to destroy the testimony of the child of God. But friend, don't be discouraged tonight, because thank God they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Remember one night dealing with a young girl who had been involved with a Ouija board and other demonic things. I'll never forget it that night. A number of the believers were there. We held a special prayer meeting. And I can tell you this, my friend, the devil fought everything. In actual fact, when she was asked the question, "Who are you?" because it wasn't the girl's voice that answered. And the word she says, "I am Lucifer," was her answer. It was the devil of hell. And he did everything, and he tried to strangle that girl. She tried to strangle herself. A little cord that was in her dress. She tried to... You see, the devil would rather that she died than get deliverance. But praise God, she was delivered. And she's on her way to heaven, rejoicing in the Lord to this very night. Listen, they overcame him. They overcame him, the old serpent, the old accuser, by the blood of the Lamb. You can't fight the devil in your own strength, friend. But thank God you claim. I remember that night as I stood in that place, I had my hand on that scripture. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and I put it over my heart. And I claimed it. And she said to me after, she says, "I wanted to kill you." And then something rejoiced my heart that she said after she was delivered. She says, "I wanted to kill you, preacher, but I couldn't get at you." Do you know why? Because I was claiming the blood. I claimed the blood. The covering of the precious blood. Why, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Thank God, if you're under the blood tonight, the devil will never be able to take you to hell. You'll never perish. Neither shall any man, woman, demon, or devil, neither shall any pluck you out of his hand. Thank God you're in the Savior's hand. It's not your hold on him that keeps you safe. Glory to God, it's his hold on you. I'm in his hand. And thank God I'm not just holding on, trembling. Thank God he's got his hand over mine. And he says, "You're my child." And he'll bring us through. Here's the last thought, friend. Listen. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. Thank God we're perfection after our sojourn. Revelation chapter 7, look at this. Verse number 13, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Thank God we'll have perfection after the sojourn. You see, we're not hoping to reach heaven. Thank God when you're saved and born again of the Spirit of God and are a child of God, friend, thank God you're sure of heaven. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but through the blood. With this I'm through. Queen Victoria, quite often when she was upon the throne, Queen Victoria was known to go out and visit the humble and the poor. And one day she came to a lovely yet lonely cottage. She made her way there, and in that little cottage was a happy believer. The Queen made her way and sat down in that humble home. She asked the elderly woman if there was anything she could do to make life more comfortable for her. The believer said, "I have everything I want. Thank you, Your Majesty." But the Queen said, "But surely there's something, because I'd like to do something for you." And once again, the old lady said, "I have all I need. But if Your Majesty would promise me one thing, I'll be very glad." Queen Victoria said to the old believer, "I shall do that if I can." The dear old saint looked into the Queen's eyes and she said this, "Oh, Your Majesty, I would that you promise me to meet me in heaven." Softly, yet firmly, this is what Victoria said: "I shall do that by virtue of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Friend, it's the only way to heaven for the Queen. And it's the only way to heaven for you, because everybody's level at the cross. Will you come? Will you come and call upon the Lord to save you, give you pardon for sin, give you peace in your soul, give you power over Satan, give you perfection after your wee sojourn? Remember, it's all through the blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word tonight. We thank thee for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives.